Blog Talk Radio.
We're 60 seconds into the show. A lot of music playing. We got five lines open. Give me a call at 347-945-6713 and get on the line with Norm. We got a lot of stuff going on tonight. A lot of stuff going on. I'm hoping, I'm waiting for my co-host to get everything squared away. We'll see, actually, if he shows up here, but I'm used to doing it by myself, so I'll keep doing it by myself. Real interesting thing, if you want to call Norm, if you want to Skype to Norm at night, you can dial. Oh, got a call-in number, now you can call me right from your phone. 410-773-9941 connects you right to Norm at night on the Skypo. If I'm on and my Skypo starts bleeping at me, sure enough, you can, I'll start talking with you anytime, any place. Right now, we got the recorders on, so if you want to be heard on the archive shows and stuff, give me a call right now, 347-945-6713. We've got the chat room open. If you want to come into the chat room, just come on in there, and I promise all right, we're back on the air. It's Norm at night. 347-945-6713 is the call-in number. Anyway, let's get started here. Well, today was a big day. Today the announcement came. Everybody knows I'm a soccer maniac, but I've just been getting way too busy with the show, with things at my day job, and so I've resigned as soccer coach of the school where I work. A lot of different reasons for it. Let's just say I resigned, I'm happy. You know, we had a great year last year. We won 13 games, we lost 3. We went all the way to the state semifinals. I was real happy to even get the chance to play in that game. But I did, coach, I didn't play. I did coach. I have no regrets about anything that I did. I'm happy. We lost a tough game 2-1. Gets the team we'd beaten earlier in the year 3-1, but we had We had a solid performance. But that whole idea of the soccer coach and all kinds of stuff out there. I want to know what you all think. Should a person be tooting their own horn and getting all those, you know, fancy licenses and all that other kind of stuff that, well, let's just face it, soccer licenses. You know, one of the kicks against me as a soccer coach, and I mean, I guess I can understand it, was that I didn't have a USAA license. Actually, I probably did from sometime long ago in my career, but none of that stuff really makes a difference to me. Remember, if you want to call in, 347-945-6713 is the number. You can find me in the chat room. Anyway, it just reminded me of the hacker ethic. Most people, when they hear the word hacker, nowadays it's come to mean something derogatory or not so pretty. Somebody who commits crimes, somebody who violates other people's rights and stuff, steals credit cards, corrupts computer programs. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about exactly what a hacker is, at least in the old terms of what a hacker was. Stephen Levy, who's written a number of books. In fact, as I look up here in my bookcase, I see Crypto, which is a great book if you're at all interested in cryptography and encrypting computer messages. But the book that he wrote, which I use to as supplemental reading for the first computer science class that I ever taught, well, AP computer science class that I taught, was called Hackers. And chapter two of that book sort of outlines the hacker ethic. Essentially, the hacker ethic says all information should be free. Everyone should have access to all information. There should be no secrets. And that's really kind of a nice situation. And if there's no secrets, it means, I guess, that everyone's telling the truth to everyone else. And that's a really nice thing to do. Maybe it's pie in the sky. Maybe it's Alice in Wonderland. But I honestly believe in it. And when you're talking to Norm at night, even though he comes from the left side, he won't tell you any fibs about it. The real important thing that's important in my life is that we share whatever we know with anybody who has any use for it. And that's how we make everything better. A person should be judged not by their degrees or, you know, which things they, what letters they have after their name or what licenses they have, but by what they know. I spent a lot of time on the soccer field, and I guess, I don't know why I'm even talking about it, but I am. I spent a lot of time on the soccer field, and, you know, everybody can have all the results they wanted. In my 20 years, I've been associated either as a trainer or a coach with three or four players that are now playing in Major League Soccer, professional soccer. And I think I had something to do with that. Not necessarily that I teach them great soccer skills, because I don't have any. But I do love the game. and I taught and conveyed to people a love of the game and taught them to do things way better than I could. And like all great teachers, I had big shoulders, I guess. I like to think that I do, that people could stand on and leap past me and beyond me. There's a player in Los Angeles that I spent some time teaching how to love the game with a very good friend of mine. There's a player now in Chicago that I spent a lot of time on the soccer field helping to learn how to love the game. I hope he makes the squad. I think he's got a drafted player, but mostly someone who loves the game. And I'd like to think I had a little bit to do with that. You gotta love the game. But anyway, and I shared whatever I had freely. A lot of people out there, and I don't know, maybe I should have, I don't know, but they took money for coaching. 20 years, lots of different teams at all different levels, usually, lots of times with teams that really weren't so good when we started out. I never took a penny, not 1 cent. Maybe that was a stupid thing to do. Maybe it wasn't. I don't think it was. What do you think? 347-945-6713. Give me a call. Talk with Norm about the hacker ethic, about what it was like to be a coach. It really was a great day in the morning. Let me go see who's in the chat room. Just the cult. Maybe he'll call in. Maybe he won't. All the people that said they're out there, if you just listen and make it a lot easier for me, give me a call. Anyway, 347-945-6713 is the number, or come join us in the chat room. I guess you can Skype me up. I'm not 100% sure how any of these things work, but give me a call. Hamburg, New York, give me a call. Someplace in Vermont, I'm not even entirely sure. Give me a call. Cincinnati, give me a call if you're listening. Central New York, give me a call if you're listening. 347-945-6713. But if nobody's going to call, I promise you I will do a monologue if that's what you're all looking for. If you just, hey, I got a call coming in. Go ahead, you're on with Norm.
It's funny listening to you.
Why is it funny listening to Norm?
I know, but you're complaining about getting calls, and I'm on hold here waiting for you.
Well, hey, I'm sorry, 916. But, you know, I was just flitting all over the place, and I came back to the switchboard, and there you were. I'm not one of those high-priced shows, you know, with call screeners and all that other good stuff. Heck, Blog Talk Radio, they're getting mad at me because I won't take the pay version.
Yeah, what, is that something you have to pay for? I'm not familiar.
Well, they have two versions. The premium host, toll-free dial-in for hosts. They never hear of voice over IP. Toll-free dial-in. I don't pay any tolls on my dial-in. That's one of the And I can use a toll-free dial-in number, like people call Norm with anything but their cell phones. We got four lines open, 347-945-6713.
So if you take
I guess you got to use your long-distance minutes.
So if you take this service, what do they do? They insert a few commercials?
Well, there are some real advantages to it. You get the good showtime hours for a starter. Like if a premium host and I would want the same time, he gets it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, I mean that's fine with me. Inside prime time, outside prime time, it's still first come first serve.
Oh, okay. Well, you've got a bigger audience now, so I guess.
Yeah, I got a bigger audience. Yes, sir. Somebody's profiled the Norm at Night show over 4,000 times. That makes me kind of feel kind of cool.
Oh, where do you get
that?
So you get that data from them, or?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm not making this up. This is counting a computer connection. You don't lie about that crap.
Yeah. Well.
And that's pretty cool. And the show.
Yeah, I
just heard a phone ring someplace. I don't have a phone.
Oh, it's not mine.
Oh, no, it's my cell phone, which means I got tweets coming in.
Oh, my.
Let me go over to Twitter and see what's going on. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, Norm at Night going live at 11 p.m. I already know that. Anyway, the next thing up on my agenda, folks, I only got a few minutes left, actually.
The next thing up on my agenda,
Earth Day.
Earth Day, I remember that.
Do you remember when the first one was?
It was in the 60s.
Early 1971.
No, I remember an Earth Day when I was still in high school.
Well, I was in college for the first Earth Day, and that was in 1971.
Well, no, we had a Earth Day. We were aware of it at Kensington in 68, 69, I think.
Well, you know what? Not going to argue about something that we can look up. We can use that new verb in the American language. We can Google it.
Yes, you can.
And that's exactly what I'm doing. Earth Day. First one. And the answer is... Well... I'm a little slow. We're both wrong.
Oh, well, okay.
But it's sort of a wash between us.
Yeah, I remember hearing about
this. The first Earth Day was April the 20th, 1970.
Oh, okay. Well, I was still in high school. Or was it?
Yeah. And I remember the first Earth Day. Was in this parking lot, and people were bringing glass. And this lady brought three cases of mason jars, and they never made it into the glass recycling. They went right into the back of my car.
Oh.
And my mother was so happy because we canned tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And that made so many less It was a crime to throw out a mayonnaise jar in our house.
Yeah.
Guess we used them for canning in September.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember, in any kind of German household, anything that can be pickled, that can fit in a quart jar, is going to get pickled, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Well, anyway, now that we're sure about what, so if it's, 1970, this is the 30th anniversary then.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool. No, the 40th.
The 40th anniversary, yeah.
God,
well,
am I getting old.
I remember there was the Earth Day symbol, which was the Greek letter theta, which was also the symbol for death, apparently. But it was like
well,
a circle with a line across it, and it sort of looked like a globe, you know.
Uh-huh. Hey, but I'll tell you what. Norm at Night has taken the pledge this Earth Day.
Mm.
I will not use a single sheet of paper.
Oh, oh. Okay.
I have pledged to go paperless.
yes. Yeah, I was
in trying to get the school that I work at, though I'm not sure they will, to pull a plug on all the Xerox machines for Earth Day.
Yeah, we had some trouble out here with our mail delivery.
Uh-huh.
Somebody broke into, we have like a collective box on the street corner, like for 12 people, right? And somebody broke into the back, and it took the post office nearly 2 weeks to fix it. So nobody had...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, I won't say they're incompetent, but I'll say they're not exactly motivated. But the thing that my neighbors and I were talking about was that, you know, we're more or less forced to use this damn thing. And we were debating the necessity of the postal service. And pretty much we all agreed that we don't need it. That if all of our bills can be done online and all the rest of it, with the exception of, Christmas cards, you know, personal correspondence, that sort of thing. We really, you know, and delivery of packages is all we really need. But the actual post box itself, they can keep it, you know. I mean, I would if I could opt out of postal service, that would be perfectly fine with me. It's a money loser for the government anyway.
Well, here's what I say. We can talk about the post office in a minute. I got 4 minutes left, and I don't want to miss this. Everyone, you can go to teachpaperless, all one word, .blogspot.com, and you can sign up. There's some kind of wiki there, and you sign up, and you take the pledge to go paperless. You don't necessarily have to be a teacher. And to all you teachers out there, oh, my God. God, how can I go paperless? Just remember, Plato was paperless. So was Socrates.
Yeah.
Paperless. Those are our role models. They didn't have paper.
No, they had papyrus.
But anyway, so I talked about Earth Day. I talked about the hacker ethic. And I've talked about resigning as soccer coach. So I got everything in that I wanted to get in tonight. The other thing I wanted to point out, the Senate passed the jobs bill today.
Yeah, pretty worthless.
Scott Brown voted against the filibuster.
Yeah.
Did everyone hear that?
Along with a couple other Republicans. Yeah. But,
and I saw, there were five that came over to the Democratic side.
But it was that was a fairly benign bill.
Well, there was only five.
It isn't going to have a great deal of impact.
The other 37 voted no.
Yes, they did. But I'm talking about the quality of the bill itself. All the things they left out, they're just going to have to pick up again another month.
Well,
you think they're going to let COBRA and unemployment expire? They're not going to let that expire. They can't afford to do it.
And what would happen if it did?
Well,
what if they did let it expire?
Well, for one thing, it would be a big, right now, it's providing a significant stimulus to the economy. If you drop it, you're going to hurt retail, you're going to have more foreclosures, more people evicted from their apartments, more kids that don't have food, on and on it goes.
Democratic strategy.
Oh, is it? They're going to starve the people till they turn the Bastille.
Wait a minute. Extend unemployment as a rider on the health bill.
Oh, well, that's
okay. Okay, now, filibuster.
Yeah, they could do almost anything.
Go right ahead.
But we know that before April that something is going to come out of there. I mean, you know.
Well, we'll see. Hey, everybody. Speaking of April, remember tax day is coming up, April the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
They should change April Fool's Day to that day.
Yeah. Somehow I thought I would have an easier time with taxes once I stop working, but that hasn't been the case.
Well, no, it's probably gotten worse.
There's a lot of stuff I don't have anymore that I used to be able to write off. So, you know, I mean, I guess I could give more stuff to charity, but I pretty much max out on that. You know, let's say, not max out, but let's say, I give enough to where if I gave more, then I'd be raising red flags and they'd want to.
You know what I found out?
What's that?
I didn't even realize that gifts in kind aren't tax deductible anymore.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
It's because there was too much swindling on them. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got about 17 seconds left here on Norm at Night. I'm glad you could join us, and if you want to stay around, we're going to keep talking for a little bit, but it'll be off the stream, but still recorded and in the archive. 347-945-6713, and we're no longer streaming.
Yeah. It's there are things such as, well, like 2 weeks ago I gave away, two monitors, a television, and a bunch of other stuff, whatever, you know. But, you know, I mean, I could come up with a monetary value well in excess of what the stuff is worth. I really don't know what the stuff is worth. But they were all working, although I know they're all going to end up in a recycling plant somewhere. Which is a real
Some thing. Landfill in Africa with little African kids crawling.
No, they grind them up and separate them. I've seen the process. There's a big factory around here.
Lots of them go to landfills and get scavenged by people looking for the metal and the lead in them.
Well, that's what, you know, I mean, that's what these recycling plants do. They grind them up, and it's quite amazing the way they separate the plastic and the metal. To separating the copper and the steel and the rest and the aluminum.
The last Earth Day, last Earth Day, I went to a recycling plant,
mm-hmm.
and it, to me, it was absolutely amazing. These like hay bales, except they're bigger. Except it's all old plastic bottles. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and it goes off somewhere to be made into stuff.
Yeah, my thing on that is, I look at the amount of energy involved, and you almost wonder if it's worthwhile doing, you know.
it requires
a tremendous amount of energy to do that entire process, you know.
It also creates lots of jobs because it was all done by hand.
Yeah, there's a lot of manual labor involved there.
And it just was stunning.
Well, you know, one of the things that we can do, you know, obviously all these plastic water bottles, that's like the one that people really focus on. But, I mean, all of that packaging that's involved in our whole food cycle, you know, say, like for the Super Bowl, I bought one of these meat tray things. and it was like two kinds of meatballs and then some little, you know, cocktail weenies and whatever. Well, it was double wrapped in plastic, really thick, heavy plastic. It had cardboard inserts and all kinds of stuff. And then the food was also wrapped in heavy-duty plastic. And it was all sitting in this huge black plastic tray with three compartments.
So I bought
1.5 pounds of food and probably 1/2 pound of packaging. You know, and it was absolutely absurd. I mean, you know, obviously I could have made the meatballs myself and with less of that, you know, all that plastic. But it just occurred, I threw out all this crap, you know. When you buy snack food, you end up with a lot of waste. And that is part of our issue. I mean, you know, the amount, since we don't eat that much fresh, locally grown stuff, and a lot of people don't actually cook a whole lot. They rely on the processed, pre-manufactured stuff.
That's
our issue. You know, I mean, we consume food in a way that is not healthy for us, and of course not healthy for the environment either, you know.
But so today
just reducing that packaging would be a tremendous help. I mean, in terms of oil consumption and all the rest of it.
So are the strawberries the kids were eating at lunch today, are those coming from your way, or are they coming from South America now?
They could be coming from here. You know, those crops are up. The primary things in my area would be like almonds. The almond crop is in. And it seems that we produce most of the almonds in the world. I wasn't aware.
Really?
Of that. I didn't know that we were that big, but we do. And let me think what else is up right now. Oh, asparagus will be coming up soon if it's not up already. Artichokes, garlic, let me think, broccoli. Broccoli's probably around, probably coming up now, too. So. You know, this is that's the thing about California. There was a time, if you went back to the 60s, we actually produced enough food to feed the entire country. It was that good here. I mean, in terms of the climate, and it wasn't as populated either. Now I think we could feed about 60% of the country. Still, that's enormous, you know. We're talking, you know, 200 million people, one state can feed them all, you know. So, you know, granted, we don't grow corn. You want corn, you got to go to Nebraska.
They don't grow any corn in California?
We do, but not a whole lot of it. See, corn is water intense, and I think it takes like a 1,000 gallons per acre. And we use water for other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you have water issues, don't you guys?
Oh, we've had a drought for 3 years, and so far this year is looking good as far as the rainfall. In fact, it's raining.
So we had one here in Maryland, too. There were almost no tomatoes last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, relative to... how many there are when it's a good season.
Mm.
And they were kind of expensive.
Yeah, see, we'd probably do a lot better, except for the southern part of the state. We're basically pumping tons of water down there, you know, L.A., Orange County, what have you, Stanford, you know. Which was okay in the past, but now water is getting scarce. And there's a lot of water fights going on here. Somehow the Napa Valley, the wine country, gets all the water they want. Very rather powerful lobby there. They have no, in fact, they're building another pipeline for them.
Oh, really? It's not just rain?
Oh, yeah. Well, they get a fair amount, you know, they get enough rain. I mean, we're talking hills and a nice valley, and they have their own water. But if they run out or if they want to expand the vineyards, then they need more water. So they pump it out of the Sacramento River, and up it goes, you know. So it's a wonderful, Napa Valley is just amazing. The only thing I suggest is that you have a designated driver. So if you do the tour of the vineyards, last time I was there, we had 18 vineyards and sampled wine at all of them. So came out with a trunk full of wine and a headache. But it felt good while I was doing it.
So. Yeah.
And they're fascinating places, and you learn quite a bit, you know. Granted, a lot of this wine stuff is, you know, bullshit. I mean, you know, the way they describe wines is kind of, you know, smoky with a hint of this and that and da-da-da-da. They treat it like it has a personality. And it's a glass of wine. Come on, guys, you know.
Person, it's a glass of wine.
Oh yeah, they're nuts when they do that, and it really pissed them off one year because we have this one wine we call Two Buck Chuck.
And what?
Two Buck Chuck is the Charles. Oh, I can't think of his last name. Charles something winery. And all he does is buy all the grapes that nobody else wants, or whatever the surplus is. And he just makes up whatever wine, depending on the grape. So it has no, it's very often the wine can be different from year to year, which it always is, of course. But it sells for $1.99, and that's the price. It's always $1.99. And they entered it in the state fair, and it won first prize, you know, against this very expensive stuff. I mean, what can you say? So that kind of gives you, you know, an idea. It's like, oh, all right. So these guys don't really know everything, do they? Excuse me.
Well, I am going to wrap it up tonight.
Okay, well,
before I forget, I gotta find it first. Did I write it down on my sheet? No, I did not. Just hold on, give me a chance. Let me find my switchboard. I now have a number you can call me directly on Skype.
Oh, okay. Hang on a second.
From a cell phone if you wanted to. Like if my cell doesn't work. 410.
Hang on. Okay. 410.
973. 9941. Chances are, if you do that during the school day sometime, the class gets a big kick out of it whenever my Skype goes off.
They threaten
to send me to detention.
Oh, because
he's using his Skype. He's using his cell phone.
Oh, because they're not. They have to turn their phones off. I imagine, huh?
Well, that's a rule. Not in Constitution.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, you taught them.
But anyway, it's been fun, and we'll talk to you next week. And keeping it real in Chad Harbin, Virginia. Norm at night, and we're out of here tonight.
Okay.
Talk to you next week, Colt.
Okay. Take care, man. Good night.
Bye bye.